Austin recaps an absolutely electric 6-0 win over the New England Patriots in week 13. We discuss my fantasy football team and how to make that last second possible playoff push. And finally, we hit on whether it's possible, whether it should be allowed for a non-quarterback to win the MVP award. All that and more coming up on the week 14 edition of Eckler's Edge. Let's get into it. It's Wednesday, December 6th. I'm Matt Harmon. Welcome to Eckler's Edge, presented by Toyota, part of the Yahoo Fantasy Football Show. It is a hell of a day. It's always a great day to talk ball. And joining me to do just that is LA Chargers running back Austin Eckler. Austin, what's going on, buddy?
Oh, well, back in the warm weather, so that's nice, because wow, was it cold. Oh, my goodness. Being on the East Coast, we played, obviously, the Patriots, and it was pouring rain the whole game. And windy and freezing. And it just reminded me how much I love the East Coast, or the West Coast, sorry. How much I love the West Coast. Because I'm back in 67 degrees right now, and it's sunny and very fortunate. So we got the win. It was ugly, but we'll get into it a little bit later on. But I'm doing well, man. Doing well now that I'm back.
Yeah, it looked miserable to watch. Look, I'm back on the East Coast now myself, but we're in a pretty solid like weather area. You know, it's still like tastefully fall here. We don't get any of that like New England snow nonsense, so thank God. You know, maybe like one snow every few years here to be like, oh, isn't that adorable snow, it's so cute, now let me go ice out the car and be miserable and all that. But obviously nothing like LA. But yeah, I mean, listen, you want to jump right into it. 6-0, what a win. What an electric win by the wow. LA Chargers. Wow. When's the last time you played in a game with no touchdowns scored?
I honestly don't remember. Nope, I really don't remember. Wow. Yeah, it was rugged. I'll say that. It was definitely rugged. Both sides were definitely feeling the elements, just as many drop balls that were in that game of just right through the hands or just messing around and it's bobbling around. And so it was a rough display on both sides. But fortunately for the Chargers, for us, we came up on top with two field goals. That had to be like a record for like all time low scoring game, right? With the winner, you know.
I don't know. That's a good question. I definitely remember like a 9-3 or 9-6 type of game at one point. The Browns were involved, I'm pretty sure, if I'm remembering correctly, which of course the Browns are involved in that. But the only like outrageous stat I saw from Mike Sando of The Athletic about that game was actually about on the Patriots side of it. Patriots average drive started at the minus 13.9 yard line against the Chargers. That's the worst in 12,708 NFL games since 2000, counting wow. The postseason too. So a lot of games there. That was the worst drive start for the New England Patriots in that game. I actually just want to ask you about the Patriots real quick. It's tough, right? Because Bill Belichick is, you know, the best coach of all time, right? Super decorated. It's a great program, but they're not having a very good year. They're not having a great stretch since Brady left, obviously. But especially this year, they're really kind of circling the drain. There's a lot of questions about, hey, is Bill going to be the coach there? You know, are they going to make some sort of transition in the offseason? Colin, our producer, just said that game was tied for the second lowest scoring game of all time. It's happened 4 times before. So congratulations, Austin, nearly being a part of history there.
Thanks.
But yeah, you're welcome. But just talk to me about that defense specifically. Like, what was it like going up against that unit? Because that is supposed to be the side of the ball that Bill Belichick is great at. And I think if you look under the hood, it is still a pretty good unit that's getting performances out of guys that are sort of under the radar, right? Like Christian Gonzalez, their rookie corner, is having a great year. He's out. Matthew Judon, he's a great player. He's not playing. So I don't know. Just, is there anything good to say about the Patriots right now from your perspective after just going against them?
You know, the thing about Bill Belichick's teams that have been like historically consistent is guys are in the right spot, right play, like right time, like they're there. And then then it goes beyond that as players, right? Then we have to go beyond that and make the plays, right? Where you have really disciplined team. They're using the right technique. They're in the right spot with the right, you know, hand placement, right leverage, all that stuff. That's great. But then now, are you getting that, you know, that punch on the ball, knocking it out? Are you going up? Are you able to disrupt the ball outside at the corner position or the safety position? And so that's where I guess I would be looking at, where it's like, yeah, sure, they're in the right spot, right time, right? All that. That's what coaching can do. Coaching can only go so far, right? And then it has to be on the players to elevate that coaching, right, to the next level as far as making that scheme come alive. And that comes from us as players making plays on the field. And so you can have the best coach ever, but the best coach ever still is not going to be on the field. The best coach ever doesn't go make the plays. Players have to go make those plays. So that's what I would say. Yeah, I'd say they're definitely disciplined, right? They're not making mistakes. They're communicating well. But then it comes down to, okay, like, who are the guys that are going to step up and make that big play when we need it? And obviously, I mean, they held us to 6 points. So, you know, they did something right against us. And, you know, elements definitely played a factor on both sides. I mean, they scored zero. We scored six. And I know there was some drops in there that we had that were supposed to be gashes. You know, I even had one right through the hands. I went back, I had this little check down, Herbert zings it to me, and I was wearing no gloves. I always go no gloves on rain days. Sorry, I kind of went off on a tangent there, but that's what I would say about, you know, as far as the discipline and as far as Bill Belichick. Yeah, he's still holding up to his reputation as far as that goes. And then now, you know, obviously he doesn't have Tom and some of these other guys that you were mentioning that were not playing. But you know, it's the next man up, but that has a limit to it, right? Where it's like, if you're trying to replace, you know, some of your Pro Bowl guys, or your All Pro guys, or your guys that are starters, that are known starters, it's really hard to replace their playmaking ability.
Yeah, I just think it's fascinating because, again, if Belichick's not with New England next year, which is certainly possible, right? I think that's.
Didn't he just sign an extension?
I don't know. His contract is always weird. Like, it's not publicly available. Like, how, I mean, coaches' contract generally, it's not like you guys, right? Like, we know what right. players are getting paid. But, like, for coaches, we generally know when they sign extensions and stuff like that. But I don't think so, because, like, the owner has been very in the offseason, like, hey, we're not, like, our standard is not making the playoffs and like, we're happy to be here. Our standard is winning, you know, six Super Bowls or whatever. And this year, they're more likely to get the number one overall pick. They're not making the playoffs, you know? So I think it's just interesting, like, and, you know, again, this is my opinion as an analyst. I think that they have absolutely bungled the offensive side of the ball over the last couple of years. I mean, just hiring Matt Patricia as the offensive coordinator, like, literally nobody thought that was going to be a good idea last year, except the guy that made the decision to hire Matt Patricia as the offensive coordinator. Mac Jones, obviously they played Bailey Zappi against you guys. Like, Mac Jones, he's like a shell of himself out there. Everybody within the building says apparently, like, he's just completely mentally out of it because of what he's experienced on that side of the ball. So if I'm Robert Kraft, I'm definitely, and I'm not, you know, I'm just some goofball here. If I'm Robert Kraft, I'm definitely thinking, like, all right, is this what I want? Do I want to keep riding with the same thing that's been here, or is it time for a fresh perspective, which has its own sort of pros and cons? And on the flip side, if I'm another team, like, that's going to bring Bill Belichick in, Albert Breer of Monday Morning Quarterback reported that the two guys that are locks to get head coaching jobs in this offseason, if they're available, Ben Johnson, the Lions OC, we'll talk about the Lions in a second, and Bill Belichick, obviously, Patriots head coach. Like, those are the guys that are going to moonwalk to jobs if they're available. But if I'm a team that's bringing in Belichick, I at least want to know your perspective about, like, what is it, this defense, like, is this is his specialty? Can he still, you know, coach this unit up? It sounds like, at least from your perspective, you know, they are playing discipline ball on that side of it.
Yeah. And then I think, just building on that, I think, you know, Robert Kraft and that organization has shown that, hey, if they feel like they're ready to move on, they will move on. And obviously they moved on from Tom, right, himself, you know, yeah. Like, and then he went and won another Super Bowl. That one still blows my mind that they're able and willing to just say, you know what, Tom, we're not going to do this anymore. You know, it's not looking like it for us. So, yeah, it goes to show, no one is safe. No one is safe in this journey called the NFL. It is a performance league. And if there's, you know, some organizations have a different tolerance for performance, as we can see, you know, who's the guy that ended up, it was the Panthers head coach.
Frank Reich, already fired.
Yeah, like, man, like, they do not waste time. They do not waste time. So is it a perform or, you know, we're moving on? You know, basically, regardless of your reputation kind of goes back to the last year, and that's about it. So it's tough, but it's kind of the cycle of the NFL and how we continue to keep right changing with different organizations being, oh, these guys are hot now. Now those guys are, and it's just this never ending ecosystem of talent being moved around. So it makes it interesting for all of us, because we get, oh, what's going to happen, right? We're just sitting on the sideline with our popcorn, you know, and our blankies. inside joke.
Can't forget the blankies. I will admit right now, Austin, I mean, I'm not under there snuggling during the football games, but there's quite a lot of blankets, Christmas-themed blankets out on the couch downstairs. But, you know, I'm, again, diligent with my work. Thank you very much.
For sure. So, yeah, I'm excited to see what happens this offseason. Obviously, we still have the season to go, so really just head down in this. But then, you know, that'll be definitely entertaining when that comes. Because, yeah, it's not just going to be right the Patriots. It's going to be so many other teams as well that are, you know, what are we doing with our quarterback position? Are we trading up for, you know, this? Are we getting new coaches? Who's staying? Who's going? You know, all the free agents. Where does everyone land? So it's going to be some madness that is going to be exciting to follow.
Yeah, like you said, many, many things still to be determined, including what happens the rest of this season. For you guys with the Chargers, you have a 7% chance to make the playoffs, according to the New York Times predictor model. So 7% is not 0%, but it is low percentage. Your game's coming up here. You've got the Broncos twice to finish the season. You got the Raiders, you got the Bills, you got the Chiefs. So a lot of teams you're familiar playing. Just before we move on, how are you feeling coming off, you know, kind of another down rushing performance for you, you know, and everything going on right now? Where is Austin Ekeler at as the Chargers season is entering this like kind of do or die time?
Man, it's definitely been a tough season. Like, there's no hiding that. You know, you can see it just by looking at the stats, like, ooh. And, you know, being the actual player that reflects myself, right? It's tough. It's tough mentally because I'm trying to find a way, right? I'm trying new things. I'm right, making sure I'm going back. I'm watching old film, right? I'm trying to figure out, okay, where am I falling short at? Like, what is happening? And it's definitely a lot of stress and pressure on the mind, just because when you're a competitor, especially at this level, like, you expect the best from yourself. And that's what I've done, you know, pretty much every year, is expected the best for myself and held myself to that standard. And now when I'm still holding myself to that standard, but I'm not seeing results, it's really frustrating. And so I'm still obviously never going to give up. I'm going to come back to work, and I'm going to put in another great week of work as far as trying to work on right my fundamentals, being in the right place, right time, making guys miss, making sure I'm efficient in the run game. I'm going to keep practicing that until I flip and retire. But, you know, it sucks when the result isn't there. And so, like, I'm talking with my running back coach, Derek Foster. I'm talking, you know, with myself. I'm talking with my, you know, people around me that support me. And I'm just like, come on, you know, and it's not because of a lack of trying. Like, trust me there. It's like, I'm trying to do everything I possibly can to get it going, but I'm just not seeing it. And so it's one of those things where it's like, okay, I have a new week, a new opportunity. But now, you know, we've seen, I don't even know how many games we played anymore, like 12 or something like that. And I'm like, damn, like, it's gotta be better. I know it has to be better. And I'm searching for that. And like I said, it's frustrating, but at the same time, it's also fuel, because I'm like, I know I can play better than this. And I will go back and watch the film, and I'm like, it's not obvious is the hard thing. It's not obvious for me where it's like, oh, I should have done that, you know? And it's like, so yeah, I'm in limbo right now mentally, but continue to go forward and give it everything I got, man. That's where I'm at.
Well, I feel you. I know it's been frustrating, but if I can say one thing, look, you know, the people that listen to this podcast, you know, typically the producers let me know that and one of our other co-hosts let me know that the comments on our like YouTube videos and stuff have actually been like super positive towards you, which is really awesome, actually, which is nice, because typically you think like, oh, this guy's not having the season that you expected, you know, whatever. People are super terrible, which I'm sure you've been getting it other places too, but if I can at least tell you one thing, yeah, I mean, I'm sure you've been getting it other places, but if I can at least say the people that are listening and watching this show, like, we know you're out there trying. We know you're out there grinding, and you know, you at least got us in your corner here.
Yeah. Yeah. And so look, even Matt, we talked about it though. Like, I appreciate it. Like, I appreciate the support. Cause I mean, just for me mentally, people like encouraging me, you know, especially my teammates, they're like, yeah, man, like you got this, like, you know what it takes. Like, come on, like all of that. And then, you know, from the fans, it even makes, you know, a bigger difference. And so, that being said, it's a result driven business. Yeah. So
gotta get it done.
I'm still like, I know, like, even the comments don't matter, good or bad. I'm like, I gotta find a flipping way. So even though I do appreciate support, it's like, gosh, like, thank you, but I gotta go. So yeah, like I said, I'm in limbo mentally. It's really tough. It's one of the hardest things as a competitor. And I mean, this is something that I've actually talked about just with our guys in general, where you put in a ton of work, you've had success in the past, and maybe you're doing a good job at your job. And I'm not even talking football right now. I'm just talking life in general. Mm-hmm. And you're putting in all this work and it's like, man, you might not get the results that you were expecting, right? And it's like, well, I'm doing all the right things. I'm putting in the time at practice. I'm going hard. My numbers on the field are good as far as my practice speeds and accelerations. I'm using my pass pro technique, all of that, practicing the right way. Got the scheme down. Understand what they're trying to do to us. I understand what we're trying to do. And it's like, like now I go out there and execute on Sunday and it's short. And it's like, nope, it's not good enough. We're not seeing the result that we're expecting. It's frustrating. But what can you do? Well, guess what you can do? You can get back and continue to work, because, you know, eventually, not saying you're even going to get the result, but eventually you're going to continue to learn. You're going to continue to grow as a person. And hopefully that's going to help you in the future. And, you know, in life, you're going to go through some downs. And this is a time where I can go back to my 2023 year and be like, man, like, it was a rough one. Like, I was trying everything I possibly could, but it was a grind. And guess what? It was something that, you know, we had to push through, and no telling how it's going to end. We still have, you know, 5 more games, but it's one of these where it's going to definitely be a part in my story as far as just kind of like the ups and downs of the NFL and being consistent and trying, like, same consistent workout routine in the off season, all the same stuff. And now, you know, obviously it's different as far as the results, especially, you know, in the fantasy world as well. So, yeah, man, it's frustrating. Just as you guys out there that might have me on my team might be frustrated, I am probably 4 times, 5 times more frustrated. So I'm keeping myself calm and collected because this is a family show. But yeah, I get it.
I'm sure there's way more demonstrative things you'd want to say about this whole situation, but it is a family show. But no, this is good perspective to hear from you, man, because like, it's easy to come on this show and like, when you're riding high and you're scoring 3 touchdowns per game and like, you'd be like, yeah, fantasy rules, man, like all the people that play fantasy rule because they're so great. But like, you know, I mean, I always say like, adversity in life is really when you find out like what you're made of and who you are and stuff like that. So I'm pretty confident in you for whatever the rest of the season looks like. I'm confident in you bouncing back and getting things done, you know, the way that we all know you can. So we are excited to watch the rest of the season for you. But let's transition a little bit here. Not to kick you while you're down, pal, but to give you one more bad update on your eyebrows. I don't know. Yeah, your practice speeds might look fine, but your eyebrows might not be looking so good for too much longer, buddy, because we are closing in both Lions running backs being inside the top 15. Joe Mixon actually saved you last night by having a big game, because heading into Monday Night Football, both of the Lions running backs, Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery, were top 15 in Yahoo standard scoring. Now it's 15, 16. Gibbs is 16. Montgomery is 15. For those that, you know, might not remember, Austin, out of nowhere, unprompted, said, I will shave my eyebrows, in response to a bold prediction from a user that said both the Lions running backs would finish inside the top 15. I got to tell you, pal, I think this one is probably going to happen.
Yeah, so, you know, I've learned my lesson about, you know, putting yourself out there and making one-sided bets against yourself. Advice, don't ever do it. It's a lose-lose situation. Well, maybe lose and nothing ever happens on the plus side if it doesn't happen. But yeah,
all risk, no reward, man. I mean, other than, well, the reward is we get to talk about this. And like, for, if you just do it for the content, shout out to you, man. That's great. But like, it wasn't as if like I said, nah, they are, and I will shave. It was just you. So, you know, just your grind. Yeah, go ahead.
I thought it was just so ridiculous. Like, cause like, typically I'm like, okay, there's going to be one main guy And that main guy may be in the top 15. Even be in the top 15, that's pretty solid. But to have two in the top 15, I'm like, okay, that is so far out there. Like I would do something drastic if that happens. And well, now we just see that the Lions' offensive line and the running backs are just freaking unstoppable, and it's actually ridiculous. So yeah, that bold prediction, you know, it was a bold prediction, but not impossible, obviously. So. Yeah, I'm still hoping we cannot do that because I have a wedding coming up. And I'm not sure how my fiance would feel if I showed up on wedding day with no eyebrows.
Not to say I'm judge, jury, and executioner of this, but I'm just saying, like, for your sake, buddy, I am not gonna allow them to shave your eyebrows for your wedding. So we'll figure out a way to make this bet pay off if and when these guys do cash in the top 15. I don't think it is fair to allow you to shave your eyebrows before your wedding.
We'll see. We might have to do some research and, you know, see how long I might have to do, like, shave a little bit and see how long it takes to grow back. So I can kind of judge it up where it's like, okay, if this does happen immediately after the season, I can get them shaved.
It's a good
point. Anyway. And then maybe by the time, cause it's later on, I have we have like half a year before it comes. If it does happen, so then they'd be back by then, you know.
Yeah, I think we'll be fine. We'll figure this all out in the off season. But yeah, that is looking pretty live, that particular bet there. In bad news though, for me, we've talked enough negative stuff around you, pal. Let's talk about me.
What we got
in our Eckler's Invitational, man? I mean, Harmon's Hedge is on the edge of elimination. Ooh. I felt totally fine with a solid lead going into Monday Night Football. I had Calvin Ridley. Oh my God. Like, having Calvin Ridley in fantasy this year has just been like, talk about a test of your fortitude and your strength. That's what having Calvin Ridley has been like in fantasy this year, between the ups and downs, the, like, he leads the league by like a wide margin in pass interference yards, which is just like, it doesn't matter for fantasy. Right, it's like, oh man, right. The guy's doing his job. He's moving, helping move the offense, but like, good.
He's getting fouled.
Yeah, there's that. And then last night he has this huge catch, but it gets called back to a hold. There was another player who was running wide open, but Trevor Lawrence drops the snap and then he throws it to him and then he can't make the catch because he's got to come back. It's like, it was exhausting. Honestly, I was so frustrated last night. I don't normally get frustrated with the fantasy stuff, but like, I had to, like, this morning check my attitude about it. Like, that's how pissed off I was, especially because then on the other side, John Daigle has Ja'Marr Chase. So I'm like, oh, Bengals have a backup quarterback. He's not going to go wild. Oh, right. Well, guess what? He goes berserk.
Right.
So I lose. I'm down to 5-8 now, man. I need a lot of help actually from you, both in real life and fantasy, because here's what needs to happen. If I win and Austin beats JJ, Zachary Eason, and Chris Harris beats John Daigle, I can potentially get into the playoffs here because I got the points scored, which is super cool. Love when you're
there. Still is a path.
Yeah, there is a path, but honestly, I need help from you in both ways, both from a fantasy perspective and like, I need you to beat JJ this week, bro, and then I can get maybe. But do I even deserve it? That's the question here. Do I even deserve to make the playoffs in this league? I don't know.
Well, you don't know until the last game. Until there's 0% chance, you deserve it, my friend. Until there's 0%, you still have a chance. So
debatable.
Yes, there is still a glimpse of yes, you deserve it. But you're gonna have to battle it out for sure. It's the same thing with us and the Chargers. Like, do we deserve it? Well, if you stopped the season right now, obviously no, because we're not in. But we have five more games. So if we can win out and we go on a six game winning streak, it's like, oh, okay, maybe these guys, you know, are onto something, you know. So it's the same for you, you know, where it's like, hey. As long as you continue to what do we got? 1 week? What is it? 1 week or 2 weeks left?
This is it. This is winning.
Oh, this is the week. So this is it. Like, you need a lot of help. And so it comes down to, hey, there's some luck that has to be played in there from other people. You need some other help. But hey, that's kind of the way of the tournament style that we got going on out here in fantasy. So, hey, man, I'm rooting for you. As your co-host, I'm rooting for you.
Well, I appreciate that. And like I said, I need you to not right. put the side what you need to do on the field. I need you in fantasy to win this week so that I have like some of the tiebreaker situations here. This is what it's like, by the way, when you're trying to make the playoffs, you actually become a little bit like the real teams where it's like, especially, you know, week 18 in the NFL, you're like, okay, this team's got to beat this team. But if they lose to this team at this time, then okay, when we get a whole chance. Like how it is here in week 14 going into the playoffs in week 15 in fantasy, where you're like, not only do I need to get my stuff done, I don't control my own destiny. I need all this other weird things to go on here to make it happen.
I know. And it reminds me back in, what was it? Like? It was like my third year or maybe my first year, where we needed some other team to win. We were like 9-7 back when we were 16 games, and we needed like some combination of other team. It didn't end up happening, but it was like, it was out of our control, but it was just like, hey, there was still a chance. And I remember I think it was two years ago when we were playing the Raiders at the last game of the season.
Yes,
it was like
time. Yep.
It was like win or get in. But if it was like, if we tie, then we both go and we're in overtime. And I remember Derek Watt, he was on the Steelers. And if we tied, then they didn't get in. The Steelers didn't get in. And so he was my guy. So I'm texting him before the game, like, hey, you never know. and then obviously we ended up losing. So that means, you know, they got in and the Raiders got in. But yeah, it's one of those where, like, you're on the outside looking in the glass. Obviously, you have to take care of business yourself this week. But yeah, it's one of those how it plays out. Crazy.
So I think it's important to remind people, too, you know, when you're in a situation like I am and you're sort of needing a lot of things to go right, this is a perfect time to remind yourself, like, yo, don't panic. OK, like, I know that things have been disappointing for some of these players on my roster, particularly like, you know, Calvin Ridley last night. That was a disappointment. Obviously, Austin, you know, has not been the first round pick that I expected. Right. Stuff like that. But I'm not going to come in here and be like, all right, this is the time now when I need to play like Ty Chandler on my bench or like do this kind of to me, at least my personal opinion is you're not trying to come in here and like make some dramatic change. Like these are you drafted these guys for a reason. And for the most part, like we know production is going to be volatile and like there's different chapters of the season and stuff like that. I mean, there was definitely a moment for Austin when we were on the show, like, oh yeah, he's back, baby. Like, you know, I mean, friggin' damn, you know, 20 points against the Jets and 19 points against the Chargers, right? Like those games, the Bears, those games still exist in the range of outcomes, right? Like just because it's been a slog the last 3 weeks, like doesn't mean that, okay, now I gotta start making some dramatic move. Or Calvin Ridley, like he had 27 points just 2 weeks ago. Okay, so
right,
stay the course.
So what do we do, Matt? Is there anything drastic I can do? Hey, my team's not performing. This is the last hoorah. What do I do, Matt? What do I do? I need, like, I'm in desperation mode. You know, like, is there anything I can do?
I think it obviously depends, like, on your team context, right? And sort of everything like that. That's the case with every fantasy, you know, kind of debate and question and whatever. But, like, for me, I am definitely a, like, you know, stick with your process, stick with what's got you here. If you are at a point where you are contending for the playoffs, look, so much of this stuff is out of your control, right? Like, I mean, again, Calvin Ridley gets the damn hold last night. If he doesn't get that, like, maybe I get a chance, right? Like, maybe I have a chance to win that game last night. That's certainly possible. They go to overtime. It just doesn't happen in overtime, but that's like one drive. We could easily be having a very different conversation here. So for me, it's like, I'm not going to come in here and blow up everything that I've built and done here in week 14. Okay. Right. So, you've got to hope. And some of this is just like, yo, you throw the die, you cast it and you see where it lands. Because what if this is the week that Austin has that breakout performance? Or what if this is the week where Jalen Hurts goes absolutely nuts? I mean, Jalen Hurts has been really good in fantasy and really consistent, but, he's only had like 135 point game. But what if he has it this week in Dallas, right? In a huge, super important game. So, like, trying to chase those up the upside case for some of these guys that brought you, I think is safe. Like, if you want to make one crazy move, maybe you go pick up, like, a streaming defense or something like that that's got a great matchup. Like, I have the Saints stashed for this reason, because I know they're playing Bryce Young and the Panthers here in week 14. And you mentioned Frank Reich earlier. He got friggin' fired before Urban Meyer. Like, he didn't last as long as Urban Meyer in Jacksonville, the guy who was, you know, back at the team, that whole thing. Okay. So they're not a good offense. So yeah, you can maybe do some moves like that. But for the most part, for me, Austin, I think it is, you got to stick with the kind of the process that got you here.
All right. Makes sense. So you got to stick it out. And then if you fall up short, then I guess next year, right? Draft better, you know, have a C minus draft, you know, that's
C minus draft.
Now it comes to fruition. Now we see Yahoo drafting scores know all.
To be honest with you, man, this is a very C plus or C minus team. Okay. And that's why I'm kind of like, do I even deserve to be in the playoffs? I don't know. It's hard to say, but
bad.
Yeah. What a disaster. Stuff.
All right. So sounds like you got to ride or die with it. Hey, it's got you this far. And so if it carries you, great. If not, it's like, try again next year.
Do some prop betting or focus
right.
on my,
you're right. Producer Colin says you didn't feel that way in August. I 100% agree. It was all the optimism. And now look at you. Now, come on, Matt. It's all gone now.
Well, listen, I don't care what anybody says. If you don't have like a creeping bit of doubt, if you sit here in the position that I'm in right now, like, I don't know what to tell you. There's definitely some doubt. Okay. Do I think it can happen? Sure. But I need a lot of help from other people.
Matt, if there's above 0% chance, you can't have the doubt, man. That's the mindset's got to be, we're going to make it work. And if we don't make it until it's zero, then you can have the doubt, because obviously you didn't make it. But it's not zero yet, my guy. So you got this. Come on, man. There's still a way. You still got to. If there's time on the clock, I don't care what the odds are. There's a little bit of chance you can do it. You can potentially do it. Because if you don't, obviously you don't have to be the one that's out there playing. But if you don't have that belief and it does happen, then it's like, oh, what? Like, now you're gonna switch up. You can't be switching up on us, man. Got to stay consistent. Believe in the guys, man. Come on.
I do believe. I believe in the guys. I believe in the guys that I drafted.
All right, there we go. There's the Matt we know. There he is.
To be honest, I'm pissed at myself because so many of these weeks I can look back and be like, if I just made this decision instead of this start sit decision, which is why I'm sitting here saying, like, don't be tinkering with this thing, because there was some tinkering I did during the season in different matchups that just like really screwed me to get to this point. So if anything, I don't think the draft was C-. I think I've been performing at a C- level as a decision maker, which is why I need to get my stuff together. Okay. That's where we're at.
Makes sense.
All right. Let's move on here. Last couple segments of the show. One, I want to talk just quickly about the MVP race, because we had an interesting discussion about this in our pre-show call last night. And I think we're in a very weird year here, Austin, where like typically what happens with the MVP race, and by the way, we're going into damn week, you know, 14. Okay. So we still got a long way to go for this thing to be settled. Okay. Like, somebody can have a signature moment here to end the season, and then we're talking about, oh, they're the obvious MVP. Right. But typically how this award goes at this point, it's a quarterback award, and it typically goes to whoever is the number one seed. For either the AFC, NFC, whatever, it doesn't matter. Best quarterback, best team, that's the MVP, set it, forget it. This year, we don't really have like an obvious, like, set it and forget it quarterback for one of these number one teams. For one, the league has been so up and down, even at the top, where right now it's like the top guys are Brock Purdy or Dak Prescott, Jalen Hurts in terms of odds to be the MVP. But I'm curious, from your perspective, when we don't have like an obvious quarterback that's just like, okay, this is like Aaron Rodgers a couple years where he won it. It was just so obvious. Patrick Mahomes, a couple years he's won it. It's been obvious. We don't have an obvious quarterback like this. Is there like a case to be made that a wide receiver like a Tyreek Hill or a running back like a Christian McCaffrey could win the MVP award?
Ooh, it's so tough, man. It's so tough, just because if you look at just the impact of position, absolutely the receiver position can make a big impact, as well as the running back position can make an impact. However, the quarterback position is like kind of make or break. Like, we either it's like the haves and we're searching, kind of, you know, situation. And it's just such an impactful position. Obviously, you see what these guys are getting paid, where it's like even the one that's playing at the top, maybe it hasn't been like MVP level of the last quarterbacks that we've seen. I still think it's really hard to just beat out that position. Even like if you look at, you know, Tyreek Hill, like Tua's got to be able to throw him the ball. You know, I'm not sure if Tua wasn't in there, are they still making those types of plays? You know, and so that's the question. Or it's like, is Tua the enabler of Tyreek Hill for him to have a career like that in a season like that? And so, man, it's tough. It really is tough to really justify another position. I think it would be sick. Is there an option? Is there a chance? Yeah, I think there is. But it's going to have to be something like outstanding. Like this is like never been done before. I feel like to really beat that out, which there are potential with Christian and Tyreek Hill, where Tyreek, you know, is on pace to, you know, set a new all time receiving record, which I definitely think would definitely be MVP worthy. But like I said, it's going to be tough to beat the quarterbacks because it's such an impactful position. When you're talking about MVP, most valuable player, you know, you look at these teams where they have a backup in from their starter and it's like, you just see that team differently, you know, when they're, you know, as opposed to if Christian's out or if Tyreek Hill's out, like they still have that quarterback to distribute to other people, you know, that can also make plays on those teams. Where it's like, now if the quarterback's out, who's going to distribute the ball and how high of a level can they do it at? And so obviously, I mean, we see the rules. We're trying to protect these guys. You can't hit these guys. You can't land on them. You can't tap them in the head. Like there's a reason why we're doing that. It's because, you know, like this is the face of the league. And we got these guys are the guys that, right, make the exciting plays, which is offense. Offense is like the exciting, which sells, right? Makes all the fantasy, everything's off of offense. And so, yeah, if Tyreek Hill gets 2,000, I definitely think he's got a chance. And if Christian keeps popping off like he is, he'll probably have another, you know, 2,000, you know, all purpose yards. And he's probably going to be well above that, depending on how much he can do above that. I think those two would be the next closest, if there is. But yeah, we'll see. It's going to be interesting, but maybe there's a small chance.
Yeah, I think that you're right. It has to be a unique confluence of events where these offensive players like a Tyreek Hill or Christian McCaffrey, you know, they have to have a special season, which Tyreek Hill definitely. I mean, he's averaging 4.5 yards per route run, which nobody else in the league is even close like to that. That's getting a lot of targets. I think the second closest is like Brandon Ayuk at 3.2. So it's berserk what he's doing with the opportunity that he's got. But yeah, obviously, like, yeah, if Tua is not playing and we're talking about, you know, Mike White or any of these guys in the, you know, he can be doing all that route running, but who's going to get him the yards? You know, that's the thing here. I think I'm just curious from a player perspective, like you guys, I probably know the answer to this and that you don't do it the same way that like media does it. But, and I think it would probably be bad if you did, honestly, but on the outside, we're so obsessed with like, how do you divvy up credit in sports? And I think the 49ers are a great example where like right now, Brock Purdy has the best odds to be the MVP according to BetMGM and other sports books and stuff like that. Again, they're coming off a massive game, whatever, beating the Eagles. But, you know, when I watch that game with my eyeballs and like see what's going on here and like watch the film on these guys and like, you know, you got IU averaging 3.3 yards per out run, whatever, he's going crazy. McCaffrey, like, you see the attention that he dictates from other teams and like what we talked about last week, the gravity that he has as a player. And you have Debo taking friggin' 4-yard passes for 40 and you got Kittle blocking his ass off and doing crazy stuff. It's like, is there anything from a player perspective where you're like, yeah, we got to divvy up the credit a little bit better between like the quarterback and some of these other players. And I'm not like, I'm a Purdy fan, but I'm just saying like guy's got a lot he's working with there.
Yeah, you know, when it comes to the actual judgment of who is the MVP and what weight that one what is MVP? Most valuable player, right? And so it's like you have to have obviously a lot of success, but then have so much success that it is gravitating to other, or it's like distributing out to other people on your team. You have to have the biggest impact on the team. Like that's, in my opinion, that's like what the MVP, and you've had so much impact on the team that you have made it such an impact that there's no one else that has made a bigger impact on their team than you have had. And so yeah, with a situation like in San Fran, when they have a lot of guys that make a big impact, it's like, if you look at a solar system, it's not just one sun in the middle. And then there's all these little tiny planets around that go around the sun. There's like a few suns where it's like Christian is, you know, getting his gravity pull, you know, Purdy obviously is distributing it. So he's going to have some type of impact. Same with Debo, same with Brandon Ayuk, same with Kittle. Like they all have such a big pull as far as gravity, as far as their impact, as far as what they're able to do. And so does that take away? So is it almost even not necessarily, I'm like, could you be on a, what if you're on a bad team, but you make a huge impact? Like what's the scale there? Maybe your team isn't
Josh Allen. Look at, I mean, he's got turnovers and stuff like that, but he's like efficiency wise had a great year, but the Bills don't have a great record.
Exactly. So is that, are you more impactful on a team like that because you have to do more and you have to create more? And because you don't have as many things around you as far as people that are making that high of an impact. So I don't know who's picking the MVP. We kind of talked about it last night. I don't know who these people are. I don't know what the metrics are. But, you know, it's kind of like, it's almost kind of like the college playoff scene where it's kind of like, what do you guys think? It seems like, what do you guys think? I'm sure there's a vote on it and stuff like that. And so, yeah, it's tough, and there's always going to be controversy in it. Like, oh, this person should have got it. This person shouldn't. And so one of those will where we'll find out.
Yeah. It's a lot of stuff where we deal in the hypothetical. Like, well, what if you took Brock Purdy and you put him in the Bills offense? What would it, well, he doesn't play for the Bills. Who gives a damn what he would look like but it's, that's what sports is about. It's about arguing and, you know, nonsense and circular things like that. So great, great transition. Actually, you brought up the college football playoffs. Let's talk about this here real quick again to help people sort of make some fantasy playoff decisions and, or, you know, whatever. But really, it's a topical thing, ranking things in the top four. I don't pay too much attention to college football, so I'm not going to sit here and give you my like take on was Florida State, you know, banged because they're like, yeah, they don't have their starting quarterback anymore. Yeah, I know they didn't win any game. They didn't lose any games, but get the hell out of here. Okay. We're going to put someone else in. I don't know the ins and outs and all this stuff. I don't know if you have a take on that. I don't. So I don't want to step in.
It's just
in
tough.
Here.
It's because it's like, if you're Florida State, like, hey, at the beginning of the season, right? If you have parameters around this, hey, what are we going to have to do to make the college playoff? Like, what do they have to do? Well, you can win every game. Well, now you're telling them winning every game is not enough. So now what do they, like, that's the goal, right? It's the win and loss column, right? We're trying to win every single game we play. Does it matter how you win? Well, apparently it does now. And apparently it matters, you know, strength of schedule. I don't know, but you won every single game that was in front of you. And so it's tough for me. And I don't know the consensus on it and what people actually like, what's been, you know, there's, I don't know if there even is a right and wrong there, but it's like, for me, that seems like they got shorted when you won every single game and you know, like that, like you got to run it by 50 now. Like, nah, actually we should have kept our starters in. We were playing those, you know, teams that we were dominating so we could score 100 points. And then I think the system just has to be fixed. Like they have to do just a traditional tournament style. And there's still going to be some controversy because there's so many damn teams, or you're going to have like the people that are at the bottom, you know, where it's like, oh, hey, should you have gotten in? Should you have not? Like, are you ranked 15 or 16? And that's the cutoff. There's 12 teams next year. See, I don't even think that's enough. 12 teams, you know, like there's how many? Yeah. There's like 100 and something teams in college, right? Division one school or Division one. You know, we have 32 in the NFL, but it's like you can't have these guys playing 15 games. You know, I think there's just got to be a better system. Is it one of these situations where you actually maybe like it's after, I don't even know, where it's like,
yeah,
you
can see, this is where it's so hard, like, to figure my only take is just that, yeah, I feel for the dudes that play for Florida State. It just, like, that sucks. You win every game and all that. I don't, debate me on this. I don't, like, people out there, don't, I don't care. Like, I'm just saying it sucks for the guys. I'm not telling you it's right or wrong or this, that, or the other. It sucks for those guys. I feel bad.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah, because I don't know what the answer is. There's probably a combination of things that you could do, but 12 teams, even to me, doesn't seem like enough, because there's always going to be those bubble people. And it's like, unless there's a definitive, like, this is why you got in, this is why you didn't, there's always going to be this controversy of who should have, who shouldn't have. But at least you don't have any undefeated teams that aren't getting in. So,
yeah, that would be nice. All right. So the point that we're saying all this is, we're going to have our top four here, our top four running backs rest of season for a fantasy playoff push. So, Austin, We each have our secret list of our top four. How do you want to do this? Do you want to give me your full list? I'll give you my full list. How do you want to do this?
Yeah. I mean, we can. Well, let me ask you this: is Christian McCaffrey on your list?
This is your consensus. Let's just
eliminate them. Eliminate him.
He's number one.
I also put Alvin Kamara.
Okay.
On my list. I just think if you don't have him on your list, it sounds like. I'll explain there. I just think the impact on his team, like he is like the pivotal player on his team. Like it's like if they're going to have success, it's by getting him the ball, and he's going to be the dynamic person with the ball. And he's and like the offense is going to run, in my opinion, through his success. Regardless if they have, you know, Derek Carr and he's going to be able to do that or not, it doesn't matter. They're getting Kamara the ball. And it's the same with my number three, which is Travis Etienne. I don't know if you have him on your list.
I have him as second on my list. So yeah.
And then
consensus there.
I'll go into that now, especially with, you know, who knows what's going on with Trevor Lawrence. Like even more, they're going to be leaning on this guy to continue to make plays, which he's already been doing this year. And so, yeah, I think that's another one. And then I'll let you go.
Yeah, so we're in consensus there for CMC and Travis Etienne. I have them there. My third is Kyren Williams, the Rams running back that we talked about last episode. I mean, he's just been getting so much work. He's so clearly, like we talk about a guy who's pivotal to his team's offensive success. Kyren is definitely that guy. So he's my third player here.
Nice. Nice. My last one, I got to step up my damn game, but I'm putting myself in there. Come on, heck. Gosh, dang it. So hopefully can get it going here. Look, I am putting everything in my power to get this going. Obviously, it hasn't been great for the past few games, but hey, we have a few more, and I know it's coming down to playoffs and fantasy, but it's also coming down to playoffs for my actual team. And so got to get myself going. Got to make sure I'm making a big impact on the field. So I am my number four.
My number four, it's not Austin Eckler. I'm gonna
understand because you're not
I'm voting
Austin
you
Eckler.
Out. Yeah, I'm
when
voting
you're not
you
Austin
out.
Eckler, it makes sense. Yeah,
I'm voting you out here. My playoff committee. I'm actually gonna. This is maybe an extra twist of the knife here. I'm going Jahmyr Gibbs, the Lions running back, for my fourth player here. Obviously, very close with David Montgomery, who's been fantastic this year. But they have a nice schedule down the stretch. They are a team that is competing not just to make the playoffs, but to, like, you know, have a first round bye, potentially be the number one seed. I mean, it's kind of a long shot, but they do at least have a lot to play for right now. Gibbs has been fantastic. So I will vote him in here as my top four. So nice. Our differences here, I have Gibbs and Kyren Williams. We were in consensus with McCaffrey and Etienne. Austin has Alvin Kamara and himself.
Nice.
So there we go. All right, last thing here, Austin. We got to close the show as we do every week. Since we're teaming up this season with the first ever Toyota Grand Highlander, the perfect vehicle for making new memories, we're going to create some memories of our own in this segment we are calling Future Snapshots. So, Austin, make me a bold prediction. Who is going to have a memorable performance this weekend?
Well, for my eyebrows' sake, I hate to say it, but I think Jahmyr Gibbs is about to pop off against the Bears. I'm gonna go for both of those guys. I'm thinking that Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery are going to have over 150 yards combined rushing and two touchdowns.
I love it. I again just said Jahmyr Gibbs is gonna be the fourth best back for fantasy down the stretch. Love that. All right, rapid fire mine here. I think that Jordan Love is going to be the top scoring quarterback in week 14 in fantasy. I love the way this guy is playing right now. I think he's coming off a signature performance beating Kansas City in a primetime game, Sunday Night Football. Christian Watson might not play, but man, I love the way Jaden Reed is operating right now. Dontavian Wicks, like, this guy is a deep sleeper, but he can play. Romeo Doubs is doing his thing. I think Jordan Love is the top scoring fantasy quarterback here in week 14.
Nice. Nice. Oh, and by the way, how did our last ones go? Last one, we had a little head-to-head matchup, and it was the Eagle.
Yeah, you had McCaffrey, like, you know, and he went off, of course. I had that Ayuk and AJ Brown would combine for, I think, over 250 yards and three touchdowns, wrong 49ers receiver. It was actually Deebo Samuel, who had three touchdowns all on his own.
Yes, yes. So that was our last week's. So this week, looking forward to seeing how they play out. You know, this week, I actually hoping I'm wrong this week for my eyebrows' sake, because, oh my goodness, what a ridiculous thing. If that does happen, I got to find out a way to make sure that it doesn't go unseen, because I got to be doing it for something. Can't just be doing it, you know, on my own. We got to capture that moment if that does end up happening, but I'm hoping it doesn't.
Yeah. How fast can your eyebrows take to grow back? Dude, 3 to 4 months, according to the Cleveland Clinic.
Oh, we're good then. We're good. We're good. I'm going to have to be 3 to 4 months, no eyebrows. People are going to be looking at me funny like, who is this guy?
Well, that's all right. Do it in the off season. You know, I mean, you people just in your regular life. I don't know. Maybe next season, just come in, no eyebrows. Be like, this is a new way I'm approaching things this year, folks. Like, you know, being CBS meetings with Tony Romo and Jim Nantz, like doing pregame interviews, and they're like, yeah, I'm taking a new approach to my
trying game a new style. Year. You know, I'm trying to start a new trend here. You know, there's no shave November. I'm trying no eyebrow. You know, 2024.
All right. On that note, see, we're making memories here every day on Eckler's Edge. Those are our future snapshots. Thanks again to Toyota and the first ever Grand Highlander. And thank you to Austin Eckler for another fantastic episode, buddy. This was great. We covered a lot of ground here. I know we got to get you out of here, but a great episode and good luck in week 14, both to your fantasy team and to you on the field, man. Obviously, like I said, we're all on this show rooting that you can have a big bounce back performance, not just because it would be nice for my fantasy team if you did it as well.
Hey, man, I know there's a lot that rides on it. So, I mean, look, I'm about to get right back to work and try to get it done this week, man. But appreciate you, Matt. Good stuff.
Hell yeah, buddy. Very excited to watch you play here in week 14 against the Broncos. That's going to be a fun one. For now, this episode's over. Tomorrow is Thursday. You know what that means. Heading into a full slate of NFL action, Dalton Del Don and I get together for Stat Nerd Thursday, where we give you one stat you need to know. Need to know. For all 32 teams, and we preview Thursday Night Football, game that I'm not watching, as I said on the show yesterday. Take a stand, okay? You don't have to watch Patriots Steelers. Take a stand, people out there. Do something with your life. Until then, we're out.